Like Bakary Sacco, it's the comeback nobody asked for. Hello and welcome to another sporadic and somewhat shambolic Exiled Eagles podcast. We've finally coordinated our diaries and got the full band back together. So I'm here with Dale Corsi. How you doing, mate?
G'day, gents.
Rob Seltzer, how are you, mate?
Oi, oi, good to have you back, Tone.
Yeah, you too, mate. And Mark Werner, how's tricks?
Yeah, good. Hot. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it is baking hot for any of our overseas listeners. You can't appreciate quite how hot it is in this country at the moment. It's stinking.
Pretty warm.
Minus one in Croydon as we speak.
Wow. Other end of the spectrum. All right, well, let's get straight into it as we haven't done one of these for a while. We might as well start at the last game, the Spurs win. Now, it's quite tricky to watch over here. Did anyone manage to catch it?
I did. I found a website, fullfootballhighlights.com, and they had the whole game on. So I watched it when I woke up in the morning.
And what do you think? Good performance, wasn't it?
It was. It was very good. It was very, like, yeah. You know what was really pleasing? For once, we had a team that was there for the taking, and we actually took it. How many times have we said, oh, they were there for the taking. They were there for the taking. We just couldn't. But we did. They were crap, and we beat them. And that's what was really pleasing.
Especially Spurs, too.
I know, that's the great thing about it. Just, I'm not overly keen for a cup run, but giving Spurs a bloody nose, I'll take any day of the week. So, yeah, I was happy about that. Talking about a cup run, so we've just been drawn Doncaster away. What do people think? Do we want a cup run? Do we fancy that this year?
Nah.
I'll jump in. I'm keen for it for now. Obviously, we don't want to put all the eggs in the basket, which is the FA Cup. But I think we're in a kind of a weird position where I think it might even be advantageous for us to have a couple of cup games. You know, get the likes of get a few minutes back into Benteke and Wickham, Meyer, and these sort of guys who probably aren't warranting a lot of minutes in league games, but I think these sort of cup games are good fodder to get a few minutes back in those guys' legs. And if we can turn over the likes of Spurs and so forth, I think it can only motivate the group.
Yep, true.
Look, can I just say, Mark, oh yeah, cup run's good for now. You were saying you're going to book a flight back to the UK for the cup final.
I may have said that.
True.
Mate, if we get to the quarters, I might be having a sneaky look at Skyscanner.
But Dale, Mark sort of mentioned there, you know, players getting a few extra minutes. Does beating a team like Spurs with essentially our B team mean that our squad is not as thin as people say it is, or are we just sort of papering over some cracks? Because I thought there were some good performances from non-starters there. Dan and Kelly looked good at the back. Ward looked pretty good as well.
Yeah. So I think on that, Kelly and Ward have been around all season, probably been sat on the bench more than anyone else. Scotty Dan, Connor Wickham, Christian Benteke, they're all coming back. So a month ago, if we had played Spurs in the Cup, the team would have looked ropey. The squad wasn't anywhere near as strong as it is now. Now it's coming back to a semblance of full strength, which is a good thing for us because, let's be honest, it's a vital time. Take the cup out of it. You know, two or three bad results, you're right in the mix, getting in the relegation fight. Two or three good results, and you're literally going to be safe.
Yeah, totally. And speaking of Benteke and Wickham, Rob, like who's our starting striker, do you reckon? Because I thought Wickham's been putting himself about a bit
recently. If you watch the Roy Hodgson presser, I can almost 95% guarantee it was Jordan Ayew to Thursday morning, so he can annoy us before work. But yep. Just for me, player for player, if you put the two players next to each other, and Christian Benteke is a better footballer than Connor Wickham. Like, he's got the pedigree. He's done it year on year. Where Hodgson sees him at the moment is Wickham's ahead of Benteke with regards to fitness wise. You'd assume, hence, Wickham starts and got 17 minutes or 65 minutes, and Benteke got 20-25 on Monday morning. So if they're both ready to rock and roll, I pick Benteke, but I would much rather Wickham started on Thursday morning than IU, but you know, Hodgson will start Ayew. But I think Wickham did well. He put himself about. He just ran out of steam. The bloke hasn't played for 2 years. But if they're both coming back, it's a nice little problem to have there.
The classic, it's a nice problem to have.
Very rarely spoken on this podcast.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Just another nightmare problem, usually.
Yeah. First time it's been mentioned, isn't it?
Yeah. And speaking of sort of goals and goal scoring, we've put 3 past Liverpool, 3 past Man City, but can't seem to score any goals at home. Mark, do you reckon that might change now with Benteke and Wickham in contention, or is it a sort of a deeper rooted problem?
Look, I hope so. The fact that we managed those goals that you just mentioned without them and them coming back, you would have to say that they're definitely going to help write the ledger and start banging some in at home. But the goal scoring thing, it's a bit of a worry, isn't it? You know, if we go back a bit, I know we haven't potted in a while, but the Brighton and West Ham games that we had back to back where we conceded 6 goals, if you overlaid those games on a timeline, we conceded 6 goals in 42 minutes, which is horrible.
Yeah.
You know, that's nearly a half of football.
Yeah. He's had that written down for about 4 months waiting to pod.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, are we podding again? Are we podding again?
No wonder he's been bombarding us.
The glue on the back of the post-it note that I've had in the corner of my laptop has given way. I've had to sticky tape it on there. But, yes, I mean, that was a bit sobering. And then in typical Palace fashion, we go to City and we go to Anfield and we bang 6 in and everyone forgets about that. But that was a very real problem facing us. Good to have those guys coming back in regard to the dossier and how can we start scoring some goals at home like we do away. I'm just thinking of something a little bit out of the box, and perhaps what we could do is have the Homesdale end as it is, and then just sell the rest of the ground to the away fans. We don't do glad all over. Kayla stays in a cage. If we don't sell out the rest of the ground, we just bus in disgruntled supporters from neighbouring clubs who didn't get tickets to their respective games, because they're going to be pissed off, and get them all in there and just let it unfold.
Perfect. I can't believe no one's thought about this. I'm emailing Steve Parrish as we speak.
I was going to say, hello, is that Steve? You've got an idea.
He listens. Don't worry, he listens. He'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Someone
I will test him. Steve Parrish, if you're listening, facebook.com/XRD.
Just give it a like, mate. Yeah.
Just give us a new like.
We've got a cunning plan.
All your club's woes solved on a weekly basis.
So, Dale, say that we don't do that. We don't go with Mark's plan. Just think about, mate, right, think yeah, about yeah. it. Break down why we can't seem to beat teams at home, because we're just taking loads of shots. You know, everyone's seen the statistics, 100 shots or something plus over 3 games and only a few goals. You must have a reason why this is happening. I'm sure you've got a solution as well.
My honest opinion, we're just unlucky. I you know, in years gone by, I personally think it's been a case of we haven't had a good striker. This year, we're shooting. We're creating the chances. We're shooting. And we haven't had Benteke. We haven't had Wickham. We've had Ayew, who's not been great, admittedly. But, you know, another day, those goals go in. Someone, you know, look at the goal that Wickham scored against Spurs, right? It went in off his 5. We didn't know a lot about it. We haven't had those breaks in previous games. You know, you've got to say, Andros Townsend's up to 4 goals this season. I think that's his personal best. Wilf hasn't done as much as we thought he would. Luka's been chipping in as Luka does. I honestly think we're just unlucky. And if you have that many shots on goal, sooner or later you're going to score them, right? and it's going to come. Someone's going to get a hiding from us at home at some stage, like Leicester did the other year. Tell you what, Tony, we need to get my mate Kieran back over from Singapore. We need to go and watch a game together against Leicester, and we'll score at least four goals.
That's the other fail-safe option of making it work. Steve, are you listening?
Possibly logistically a bit easier as well.
Yes.
Rob, I heard you sort of tutting and didn't sound like you agreed to Dale's sentiment.
No, look, there's an element of luck in it, for sure. There's an element of, yeah, we've been unlucky, but, mate, we're a Premier League football team. We've got players that are paid a lot of money. Of those 100, I would love to know, of those 100-odd shots on goal, how many have been on target? We play Cardiff. How many? The keeper made maybe four or five saves.
Yeah.
And he did well with that. That's ridiculous. I mean, Connor Wickham's got, yeah, it came off his thigh, but he was a striker making striker moves. He was in the centre of the box. He was anticipating the keeper getting a parry, and he was there in front of the defender. We haven't had that. We haven't had that at all. We've had players very static in the box. We've had defenders in the way of players, always in front of the striker. There's not a striker. We don't have a striker at the moment playing, which, not that fault, but to say we're unlucky, nah. You don't have 100 shots on target on goal and have, I'd say, a sixth of them on target and score two goals.
Oh, Rob, I would agree that we haven't had a focal point and we haven't had a striker. And also, what is a chance? You know, ultimately, what is a shot from 45 yards out a chance? No, it's not. But at the same time, I think we've seen goals hit, shots hit the post. We've seen goalkeepers. The classic Palace, right? Third choice goalkeeper comes in and they are man the match, saving everything. Whereas, and we know we're coming on to Julian Speroni in a bit, he comes in and he makes a ricket and they score. Now, I'm not having a go, I'm just saying that just seems to be Palace. That just seems to be Palace all over, doesn't it? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I certainly agree with you saying, 100% agree with you saying, but I just don't think that, I think luck has an element, there is definitely an element of bad luck in there.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I think it's, you've got players out of form, players trying too hard.
Yeah, totally. Like, totally agree with that. As
either in Jordan Ayew's before he scored, went on his purple patch of 2-2. You know, not shooting hard. Like, I mean, when he tried, was it against Cardiff, when he basically used the ball like a pair of tits and touched it really softly to the keeper? And, you know, that's on us. That's on players. That's not on luck. You know.
Yeah. But yeah, we score three at Anfield.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's the dichotomy.
Problem solved.
Just play all our home games at Anfield. There you go. Well, there's the other option.
Well, I literally couldn't think of anything worse.
we've all heard the stat, right? That no Liverpool conceded three goals at home all season. They play us, they conceded three. We played City, they conceded three. No one else has put three goals past City and Liverpool, right? Part of that, I think, is when we play away from home, I think there's a bit of freedom about us as well. Teams come at us, and that gives us the freedom to express ourselves. I also think that there is a little bit of a fear element sometimes playing at Selhurst, because, you know, we do have a set of fans who sometimes can get on players' backs. There's no two ways about it, no hiding it. It is true. And I think sometimes there is a bit of a fear element to some of those players and what they do.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
And Rob, just so you know, the game against Cardiff, just did some Googling, 31 shots on goal.
Five
on target.
If in the Remp game or when we play Sunderland in a couple of weeks, if that's the stats, you think, well, that's because there's 22 horrendous footballers on that field at the moment. But, you know, when you're watching it, when you're a Premier League team, you can't have 26 shots off target.
Especially when you think the week before we were away at Man City and we had three shots on target and scored three goals.
Yeah,
it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, speaking about sort of strikers out of form and the lack of goals, do we need to talk about Zaha? Is he out of form? I mean, a couple of games now, he hasn't really set the world alight. I mean, he was a bit of a passenger at Spurs. Anyone worried about that?
No, in a word.
Okay.
I think you look how good Townsend was, because it's not rocket science. You stop Wilf, you stop Palace. If we know that, then Premier League managers that are paid a lot of money will be like, right, stop Zaha, put two or three on him, but and then you stop Palace. But we our plan A, B, C, D, E through to about Y is just get the ball to Wilf and do something. All of a sudden, just give the ball to Andros Townsend and he's one-on-one with someone, or Maya's got a bit of space, or Luka's got a bit of space, and you know, or Wan-Bissaka coming forward has a bit of space because three players are on Wilf, and he's not going to do everything every time. He can't beat the whole team every time, and sometimes it's him, he tries to do too much. But if with him on the field there's space for others, and we now against Spurs was the first time that I've seen us properly use that extra space, use Maya to drive, use Townsend to drive, and I thought Forth had a fantastic game one-on-one against Wilf. He didn't do him once, but Wilf just being there, and I think Wickham as well took a couple of centre-backs with him, there was space, and Townsend was absolutely fantastic because Wilf was on there. So am I worried about his form? Nah.
And so...
Can I just ask a question? I didn't see the Spurs game. Where was Wilf playing? Was he playing wide left? Well, I think he has... I mean, look, says it all, right? Pays up front, he gets isolated, he goes wide left, he does the isolating. And I think, and as Rob's pointed out there, whether he beats the man or not, when he goes wide, it draws a second player out there towards him.
Yeah, and that's true, because it gave Schlapp a bit more time and space. I thought Schlapp had a better game against Spurs, so yeah, that might have been a knock-on effect. And do we reckon that that's why we're thinking about Bolasie again? I don't know if that's just paper talk or not, or, you know, is that the logic behind it? You know, sort of Wilf takes two men, Bolasie can do the same.
And finish like he always did.
yeah. But, you know, yeah, he can draw extra players as well. Is that, you know, I don't know if that's the logic behind it or not.
I don't know. My concerns would be, one, his best days are behind him, and two, like, he's, as Alan Pardew loves to say, he is the ultimate maverick. And we all know that Roy Hodgson's very disciplined in how he sets his team out. So would Bolasie fit into that? I don't know.
yeah. Would you take him back, Mark?
Look, I'm 50-50. I have a foot in both camps. I'm not convinced either way, really. I mean, if it's a bit of a free hit, why not? I know there's a lot of people that are keen as for it, and as I heard, I think it was in the Guardian Football podcast or something, I said statistically, there's no stat for chaos.
Yeah, and that's right.
Yala brings, you know, like, he had his hat-trick up at Sunderland there, and that was all great, but not a great finisher, but, man, pretty exciting to watch him in a bit of space and, you know, with the ball, and he's like a street footballer out on the pitch, and, you know, when him and Wilf are having a day out, that's a very exciting game of football to watch.
Yeah.
But as Dale just mentioned that I didn't really consider, and that is he's fronting up back to Selhurst Park with, Uncle Roy at the helm, and does he fit into his plans, and will he feel, not as free to move about or, you know, play his football as he does? I don't know. I think it'd be a shot in the arm for team morale. I think he's still pretty well liked, him and Wilf will get along. A lot of the boys obviously still in touch with him. But like Rob said, I think his best days are behind him, definitely. But, mate, I'm not going to cry on my beer if he pulls on a Palace kit again, that's for sure.
Nah, totally. I guess that brings us nicely on. We might as well talk about transfer business and transfer policy and all that kind of stuff. Sacco coming back, that's kind of a weird one. I know there was... I think a message went out on our WhatsApp group where a well-known player was coming back to Selhurst. Everyone got super excited. It was Kabay. And then just a sudden sort of shock and disappointment when it was actually Bakary Sacko. But what do we think about that? you know, have you seen the emoji of the shrug? That is exactly what Dale just did then.
Well, I suppose it's clever because we've gone from paying him 60 grand a week to 30, 35 grand a week. So in that regard, we've done really well. But, what a joke. I mean, if you're telling me that we couldn't get a deal over the line for this guy. He then disappeared off for 2 months, not being assigned a club, and then end up at West Brom. And now we're like, oh yeah, now you're at West Brom, come back to us. Well, I get it, it's clever. They've got him fit and everything else, brilliant. But we've needed him. We've been right up the creek without a paddle. We could have done with him, and he's been busy hanging around in Black Country or whatever. Come on. I mean, just the whole thing of our transfer policy is a freaking joke. We got Lucas Perry in, and everyone's like, oh, that's good, we needed a goalkeeper because the other two went down injured. We were in for Perry before the other two got injured. Couldn't score a goal for Toffee, but we're getting another goalkeeper in.
I think that Salesy said on the FYP that he hasn't played a competitive fixture or something as well.
Not to play the competitive fixture. He was in the same Brazil under-23 squad as a whole bunch of other quality players who have kicked on and done something decent, and he's just been kicking his feet in the under-23s in Brazil.
Yeah.
Scott.
Good barbecues over there, at least. Enjoy that.
What do you reckon, Rob, about transfers and Doogie?
On Dale's point about the big back... Big back with a long contract, rubbish player. Big back playing for a contract, good player. So he was playing for a contract last season, did well.
Yeah.
So he's on a 6 month. I think that's a free hit. To be honest, Mark said about Balassi. I think he's fairly a free hit. He knows the system. He knows what he wants to do. He knows the players. We don't have to do much work with him. He's fit. He's ready to go. I think that's more of a win-win, as it were, than Balassi. Yeah. With regards to recruitment, it's been spouted on every single Palace podcast, FYP, Back of the Nest, that the transfer policy has been absolutely atrocious for donkeys now. Last January, we signed a player we paid millions of pounds for someone to train, which was impressive. The fans went berserk because we didn't sign a League One striker in Madger, who's gone to Bordeaux, where we signed a League One striker last January in Sorlot. So we won up there anyway. I think we need a winger. We need a different type of striker. And if Doogie's full remit is player, picking up players, then to be honest with you, he's failing. He hasn't done anything. And if any one of us four on this pod were performing at their job with one thing to do as well as he is, I very much doubt we'd be in that job anymore.
Devil's advocate then, what if his job actually, this transfer window, is getting rid of dead weight and freeing up some wages?
Because
that's happened.
Yep, that has happened.
And that must take a bit of work.
Oh yeah, especially some of the players we got rid of.
But, exactly, yeah, and the wages they were on.
Oh, for sure. But I reckon we're taking a hit in a lot of them. I reckon, like, we've had to pay we've had to pay some money out to those guys to get them off the wage bill. But like we haven't got a massive squad, and look, don't get me wrong, I'm glad we got rid of the dead weight. But you would assume at the level of club we're at now, the Premier League, that if we're getting rid of all these players, there's going to be at least a couple coming in. You know, yes, as Dale said, we signed a fourth goalkeeper on the books, sweet, but Sacco's back in, but we got rid of four midfielders and a winger.
Yeah.
And we haven't replaced them.
Celts, find me a Premier League club whose first option off the bench, win, lose or draw, is Jeffrey Schlupp in centre midfield. It's a joke.
I can't. That's exactly... I agree.
It's a joke.
I agree. Well, look, it's because...
Now, he might work hard. He might score the odd goal. He might be left-footed. Jeez, he's probably got nudes of Roy, Doogie and Steve having a big old sesh with a big old spliff. That's awesome. But do you know what? We've got to have better than that.
And I want to take issue with people that are comparing, I'm kind of going off a bit, but on Max Meyer with Johnny Williams and Barry Bannon, I think that's absolute bullshit. Johnny Williams, when he was coming through, everyone was talking about he's the next big thing. You read a book by Michael...
You can spare on our podcast, it's fine. You read a book
by Michael Calvin about scouts. Liverpool scouting Johnny Williams at 17. They were interested in him. He could have been, you know, a David Silva. Not as good, obviously, as David Silva, but he could have been... People were saying, who's better, Wilford, Johnny Williams, when he was coming through? And a lot of people said Johnny Williams.
Yeah.
The only reason he didn't make it is because he got injured. So, Maya compared to Johnny, people saying he's just a Johnny Williams with hair. You know what? Johnny Williams is a bloody good player that just got injured. Barry Bannon is one of those. Maya is 25 times the player Barry Bannon is. So people saying he's just a Barry Bannon, Johnny Williams. I take him as a Johnny
Barry
Williams.
Bannon.
Yeah, he was all right, but Maya's better. And Johnny Williams was going to be the next big thing, and he would have been if he hadn't got injured. He could have had a similar career to Gareth Bale because he went berserk, he went gangbusters, and Johnny Williams got injured. Simple. So,
yeah,
you're talking about bringing on Jeffrey Schlupp. I would have Maya start, and you can bring on James McArthur.
Would you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Right.
Or do you know what?
Yeah.
Either or. It doesn't matter which one of those two you have.
Yeah.
Either or, because Jimmy Max, quality for us, right? Jimmy Max, absolutely brilliant at the pack. And don't get me wrong, Jeff Schlupp, I love the fact we play him sometimes, and we control Liverpool, and we can chant, Jeff Schlupp's won more than you. Right, I love that, and Jeff Schlupp will do a job for us, left back, left wing, that's great, but when we are 2-1 down,
and we got strikers on the bench,
I do not want to see Jeff Schlupp. Come on, Jeff, if you're hearing this, my guy named Bubba, I'm sorry, yeah, a lot of love still, but mate, come on, Palace, we
should be doing better.
$85,000 a week we're paying, or whatever it is we're paying for Max. He's got the key. You know what I mean? He can unlock stuff for us. Yeah. What are we doing? Anyway, I'm out. I'm done.
He's just dropped the mic.
He's out.
Yeah. You got anything to add, Marky Mark?
On Dale and Jeff Schlupp, or
just transfers? I think we've talked about Jeff Schlupp enough.
Yeah, the transfer thing is a funny one. I think we all knew in our hearts of hearts with a few things that were being said prior to the transfer by Roy that, the coffers weren't being opened at all. And at best, we were looking at a couple of loans. We've managed to free up some wages, which is good. And let's face it, whilst it thinned out the ranks a bit, I don't think it really affects us, the playing squad, that much. So it's not to free up a bit of room there, but yeah, I mean, it was only going to be a couple of loans, wasn't it? And then a couple of usual names bandied about, Cenk Tosun, so forth. Glad that didn't go anywhere, because after he binned us, I would definitely not have been happy to have him along. And then yeah, we're looking down the barrel of a couple of free hits really with Saka and even Yellow if we come through. And like Roy said, Not going to get someone for the sake of getting someone. And I'd happy with the squad. Obviously, a striker, obviously, to not state the obvious. But, I don't think we're in a real, really bad position. Yeah, we can work with what we've got, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I'm not expecting transfer deadline day to be a chaotic experience. I can't see much happening.
No, man.
I'm not hanging on for it.
We are ultimately, the reality is, right, we are, as we said, we're a winger short. We're probably a left back short in, if anything happens to PVA, because Schlupp's now in centre mid, we probably need another left back. The reality is we're not going to get in world beaters. And to a certain extent, I understand getting the Sacco back, getting Kabaye back, because they know the system. I get that. But at some stage, we need to, I don't want to say show ambition, because we tried to show ambition with Benteke and Wickham. I just feel we need to actually get our squad in a good shape for once, right? If the worst comes to worst and we lose Wilf in the summer, then what? Then we're going to be trying to scrape around for players again. Everyone knows we're going to have the Wilf money, and we're going to end up paying through the nose for somebody who's probably, well, we know we can't replace Wilf. We know that. But it's just I'd just love to see a concise, clear policy for once. I don't get it. I don't see how we do it. Liverpool, for example, they've got a clear way they're moving. I know we're not Liverpool, but they've got they're doing
breaking,
something, right?
Breaking world records.
Other teams, you see.
I was going to say, just spending ridiculous amounts of money.
No, I know that. No, I'm not saying they're different to us. I get that, but that's their policy. You can see it. Bournemouth have some sort of policy. I don't know how Bournemouth do it, but they've got a policy,
right? What's going on
there?
You can
see method to their madness, right? You can understand what they're trying to do. With us, I don't get it. Rakip, Sorloth, Yak. Then the next window, it's Check Kyoto, yep, cool. And Meyer, that was very left field. And then next window, it's free transfers.
Yeah.
You know, it's that's what I'm saying.
Very wishy-washy, to say the least.
And
repetitive, too, you know. Each window, yes. We all have the same discussion.
I know. Watching Palace at the moment, it's just like Groundhog Day. It's relegation troubles, transfer window problems, just the same thing over and over.
Hashtag Kuma Babaka.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's barely been mentioned this window, oddly.
What's happened to him? Is he all right?
Which means we'll probably sign him 10 to 12 on deadline day or something. But it's a bit of clarity would be nice, I think, through all of it, regardless of what we're doing, just a bit of clarity.
Totally. But talking about maybe a bit of consistency, good to see Julian Speroni back in between the sticks. Had a bit of a mare at Liverpool, but cracking game, I thought, at Spurs. So I'm pushing the charge for him to be player of the season this year. He's definitely getting my vote, and I think everyone else should vote it as well. Just sign him off in style.
Seconded.
It's a yes from me.
But it was quite interesting, all people on Facebook sort of giving him loads of grief after Liverpool. A lot of people either with short memories or just weren't paying attention to what he's done before.
Well, but is it grief? I felt sorry for him because he was woefully undercooked.
Yeah.
We know that. We saw that. You know, but he was undercooked. But he made a mistake, and it was quite a costly one. And he got pelters for it. Rightly or wrongly, he got pelters. Knowing our fan base, you get abused. Like you make a mistake, unless you are one of a certain few players. You make a mistake, you get.
He should be one of the certain few players, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I think people were just that annoyed because it was such a big game, and it was a real, you know, it was a real chance for us to do something.
I think people were just more annoyed that Liverpool got 3 points against us because nobody wants them to win the league.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I think, as I said, the poor guy, everyone knows how much he'd have been hurting for that because he's Palace through and through. He made a mistake. I'm glad. I watched double save today for the first time against Spurs, and I thought that was classic Speroni, always being a shot stopper. That stuff is going to be an issue. If I'm honest, I'm not overly surprised by the mistake because that's where if Julian's ever had a bit of an issue, that's what it's appeared to be. But you know, you shouldn't be having a go at the guy for one mistake with all his service.
Yeah, totally. Cool. Well, I think we sort of chatted about everything we wanted to. Might as well just sort of wrap up. We are quite a bit over halfway through the season, but let's see what you think of the season so far. So, Rob, are you happy with where... Well, you can't be happy with where it's going, but, what are your thoughts?
If we're going to give it a grade, I'll give it a D, to be honest with you. We name some of the players who put, like, Sacco, AWB, Wilf, Meyer, who doesn't play much, but those four players, arguably, 14 clubs in the division would want, and we've got all four of them in the one team. We're languishing in 14th place, probably looking over our shoulder, which I think will be fine. And I'd love a cup run because I'd take 16th and winning the cup this year because I don't think we're going to go down. But you know,
we're not far off it. I was quite surprised when I looked at the table.
Yeah, the next four games are massive. Us 7 to 12 points. The next four, like 12 points is dreamland, but seven anywhere between 7 and 12, then I think we should be all right. But then, and then we could really like throw all eggs in cup basket. But you know, at the moment, when we're a Premier League club, we are an attractive proposition to any manager out there, really. So your highly rated younger ones, you know the ones that link the Chris Wilders, the David Wagners, all of that. I'm of the opinion of everyone said I want Roy to go off and have his season, go on his own accord, and say like I'm done at the end of the year. If the unthinkable did happen and we went down, which I don't think we will, but if it did happen, we're not that attractive anymore. We're not that attractive. What have we got over Sheffield United, for example, to get Chris Wilder? 90% of our first team go. He's got to rebuild everything when he's built loads of stuff up at Sheffield United. I'm using him as just an example, but you know, that's what most managers would look at. So this season, I really thought this was the one where we'd finish like eighth, like looking around about the eighth, seventh, if we're lucky, you know, really, because we're there, we should be there or thereabouts with a cup run. And with the team, with the starting lineup, we shouldn't be where we are. The Spurs have, as proven now, they've got a fairly thin squad, but their starting lineup could beat anyone in their day. And they had the best start to a league campaign they've had in forever. And they're wobbling now because the injuries have happened, but why did that not happen to us?
Yeah. It's happened to us many times.
100%.
Yeah. Mark, how about you? What grading?
Rob graded it in sort of alphabetical. I'll go numerical. I'll give us 52% out of a possible 100 for the season thus far. I think we should be well further up the table than where we are at the moment. There's sort of, you know, you look at the table and there's essentially three groups. It usually gets into that. You know, you sort of got your top six. And then I think there's six or seven under them. We should be jockeying in the middle or the top of that group, and we're not. We're 4 points adrift of the bottom of that group. Bunch of teams on 22 points, and there's a lot of names between us and relegation. Not a lot of points, unfortunately. So whilst I don't think we're going to go down, and none of the pundits seem to, we're certainly not mentioned in that conversation, and I don't think it'll happen. Mathematically, it can very easily happen. You know, we by no means breathe a sigh of relief, and next couple of games are important. Next five games, I reckon, you know, we need at least 9 or 10 points out the next five games. That's a must, I think, for who we're playing and where we're playing them. As Rob said at the start of the season, you know, you're always excited at the start of the season and blah blah blah, but I genuinely thought we were a chance for 7th, 8th, not out of the question. At all, you know, or you know, definitely top 10. And, we're not punching towards that at the moment. But, you know, we've got a lot of games to play and a lot of points to get. So bit of a cup run thrown in there. I hope that if we do have a good cup run, it doesn't paper over the cracks like it did with Pardew. I think, you know, we forgot how shit we're going in the league for a bit there with our cup run and so forth. So keep a bit more of a diligent eye on that, and we certainly need to step it up for the run home from here.
Definitely. I mean, these next, I know you say next five games, next two games are crucial. If we don't pick up, I'd say maximum points off those two, then it's not going to be good. It's not going to look good.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Dale, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What do you reckon?
I'll give it a C, just because we were all excited to start the season and we've just reverted to type. Let's be honest, like, C's middle of the road. This is pretty much Palace, isn't it? Middle of the road. Win a couple games you shouldn't win. Lose a bunch of games you shouldn't lose. Draw a bunch of games, just make you think, oh, God, really? And then just thinking, you know, we're going to finish 14th. We're going to be clear relegation. But what have we actually achieved? You know, the boys have said it all. We're only 3 points clear, and two of our next three games are Southampton and Fulham. You know, they don't get good results there. And Southampton have turned a corner as well. And I don't think a lot's really been made of it, but their new manager, he's got Shane Longstore in the goal. I mean, Jesus. He can do that, he can do anything. So, you know, I think we can all be sitting here saying we're not going to get relegated, and I don't think we will, but like I said earlier, it only takes a couple of bad results and you're right back in the mix and you get a bit of momentum. Any of those teams around us get momentum, that's got to be the concern. So look, give it a C.
Could do better.
We can get better for sure. Yeah, just don't get any worse.
Please, God. So middle of the road, I'd probably go slightly lower than a C. I'd go a C-. Because, we are not many points off the bottom three, and that shouldn't be happening with our squad. And there's a lot of teams we should have beaten, especially at home. Five goals at home is just not good enough, not acceptable. Thank God we don't have to stand in the cold and watch it. Otherwise, that would be even worse.
No. You have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's a good point. Cool, all right. Well, is there anything else you guys want to mention?
Oh, just quickly, one other one for me. I don't think anyone's really playing, but I don't care. the Crystal Palace fantasy Premier League draft thing we're doing. Yeah, I'm top by 133 points, so screwed a lot here.
Way to be a team player there, mate. That's really good. Just let everyone know how well you're doing. Awesome. Cheers, Dale. Yeah. Way to wrap it up, mate. Beautiful.
That out. That's right.
Yeah, sweet.
This needs far this needs far more mentioning on Facebook.
You literally said no one's playing it, but I'm top.
I don't think they are. Don't think they are, but hey, who cares? I don't really play it either.
Congratulations, Dale.
Well done, mate.
Cool. Oh, and actually, although I haven't been paying much attention now, I'm in Melbourne. Does anyone know what the details are for? We're playing the Sunderland I believe, in February.
I believe the game is a 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday the 17th.
17th at Seymour Shore Stadium. So
it's in the middle of nowhere. Miranda. It's 17 hours from everywhere because it's Australia. So let's get a massive crowd there.
That far.
Mate, it's going to take me about 3 days to get there. Yes,
Bradley Lowry Foundation, right? So if people are in the area, they should get down there. Travel 17 hours. What's wrong with you? Come on,
yeah, definitely
for a good cause.
And that's my plane. Imagine walking it.
All right,
are we
cool.
aware of any ex-Sunderland players we're likely to face in this game?
Right.
That just seem to crock
Kevin
up.
Kevin Phillips,
well, living down under.
Alex Ray does work in Sydney.
Gavin Ray. Gavin Ray does. His brother.
Oh, Gavin Ray. Did he play for Sunderland? Who cares?
Just quickly, has anyone spoken to Nicky Rizzo yet? For the seventh year in a row.
Yeah, he says he's coming, but he'll cancel the day before. All right, chaps, let's wrap it up there.
Beautiful.
As always, good to chat to you.
Yeah.
And
speaking of next season,
let's
fellas.
Let's do this again in like 6 months.